are 10 days into 2024, and that is loud. I want it to pop. So, but how's the resolutions going for you guys? You guys going to the gym? Oh, you don't make them either? Yeah, me neither. I'm smart. I don't make them either. I can never do them. So I just refrain from them. But if you're going,
neither can I.
Yeah. So maybe some of you guys are going to the gym or eating healthier or getting that water intake that you're supposed to get every single day. And those are all fine and good things to do, you know. Our physical health is important. Those goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of the year, they're important. But the question I have for you guys tonight is, are your physical goals trumping the spiritual goals? And what I'm asking is, how has your growth been spiritually in these past 10 days? Do you have spiritual goals? Do you want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to grow in His Word and His wisdom and knowledge of what He wants for you in your life? You see, oftentimes we have goals that we want to set and that we want to do and we want to see things be fruitful and come to fruition and succeed in them. But how is it going? How is the past 10 days, if we look back at a snapshot of January 1st to January 10th, what have you done to grow closer to God? How has your spiritual growth increased? Are you reading more? Are you praying more? Have you shown up to service more than you have? Have you made it a point to do that? Are you getting in His Word to seek what He has for your life? Are you serving in a different capacity than you did in 2023? You see, spiritual growth is extremely important. Growing and maturing in your walk with the Lord is extremely important. The physical things are great, but the spiritual things are what really matter. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And those are, how do you grow spiritually, and why is it important? So Paul has a little bit to say. So guys, if you have your Bibles, join me in chapter 1. And I'm still on the tail end of whatever sickness I did have. I do sound a little bit more manageable, a little bit better, so I don't have that whole frog thing going on anymore, which is great, and I'm thankful for. But Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. The majority of what we're going to be looking at tonight is going to be verses 9 through 14. But to give us context, Paul writes here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Verse 3. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. You learn this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Verse 13 says, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and there have been many prayer requests, God, and we know that you heard them. And God, we pray that you act on them, God, and that we would know that you care about us and love us, God. Your word tells us that, but sometimes we need to see it, Lord. And I pray that for all those who are hurting or going through physical ailments, God, that you could heal them and draw them closer to you. Lord, we pray that as we get into your word tonight, that you would illuminate these truths to us, God, and want us to draw closer to you, God, and that we might glorify you tonight in this service. Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. In verses 1 through 8, Paul is commending these Colossians for their newfound faith in Christ. He's saying that, hey, I've heard about what you guys are doing. We think it's awesome, your love towards all of the saints and all of those things, and the salvation that you have, that you've experienced, that didn't take much, that you heard it and you acted on it. And he's excited for them. He's writing to them. And he says in verse 9, he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you." You see, Paul, he's spiritually mature. He has grown quite a bit in Christ. He had known where he was and what God did for him and what God pulled him out of. And he's saying, hey, because I'm spiritually mature, because I'm growing in my faith, we are going to pray for you. You see, a lot of us pray for individuals, but we make it general. Paul says specifically what he's praying for these Colossians about. And he says that he wants them to grow spiritually. He says, "We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He's encouraging them and he's praying for them. And he identifies here in verse 9 how to grow spiritually. And it's quite simple. This message tonight is going to be quite simple, I would imagine. But he says, "We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom." See, if you want to grow spiritually, you have to know what the knowledge of his will and all wisdom is. You say, well, how do you do that? Again, simple. You get in his word. You read his word. You show up to church. You hear his word so that you can grow in his word, in the knowledge and wisdom. And that is one way that Paul identifies that you can grow spiritually. And it really is a simple concept. Hear it. We read it, and we ought to do it, right? We ought to do it. But he also says at the tail end of verse 9, in spiritual, along with knowledge of his will and wisdom, and spiritual understanding. You see, all of us understand what fleshly wisdom is, right? It's simple. Do what makes you happy. Do what provides pleasure to you, whether it be food, alcohol, anything that your flesh can take in, that is fleshly understanding. And we are fleshly creatures from birth, so we understand what our body needs, what our body wants, what our lusts are, what draws us away from God, something that is pleasing to ourselves. But Paul says, no, we're praying that you grow in spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is the exact opposite of fleshly understanding. It's no longer do what Phil wants to do. It's no longer do what I want to do and expect a different outcome. It's now that I'm saved, as these Colossians were, how do I grow spiritually? What does God want out of my life? What does God want for me? How does he want me to act? And how can I figure it out? Well, I have the Holy Spirit, so he witnesses to me. But also, I have his word that teaches me how to do things God's way. So it's very simple. You want to grow spiritually, you need to be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and also have this spiritual understanding. It's, again, a simple concept. We must be obedient to God. Simply put, spiritual understanding is hearing God's word and doing God's word. Whatever it is that he's asked you to do is doing it. But he goes on to say, he identifies how you can grow spiritually in verse 9, but he also tells us through this prayer why it's important to do it. In verse 10 he says, "So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him." If you are a Christian, if you have given your life to Christ, if Christ has saved you from death, hell, and the grave, we should want nothing more in our lives than to please God. We should want nothing more in our lives to have a walk that can be defined as worthy towards the Lord. There should be nothing that trumps what God wants for us and what he wants us to do. If we understand that he has pulled us and saved us from hell, what could be more important than serving and walking the way that the Lord has asked you to walk? Nothing. There isn't anything. And Paul is praying that these guys would grow in their spiritual understanding so that they would be able to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. You say, well, how do you fully please the Lord and walk a walk like that? Well, He keeps going on. He tells you right here. He says, what is pleasing to the Lord and how you walk is this: bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit in every good work is what He says. In other words, the work that we do should bear fruit, right? There's tons of scripture that talks about fruit, that talks about bearing fruit and how we do it. You see, the thing about fruit is it has three characteristics. Fruit is visible. Fruit is identified by the tree in which it grows on. And also, fruit is there for benefits. So if we couple that into, you know, our work that we're doing should be visible. It's not something that should be hidden or that we only do in the confines of the church house. If we're working for God and we're trying to walk a walk that is pleasing to Him and bearing fruit in our work, it should be visible to the community, right? It should be visible to the people who see us and say, well, something might be different about him. What's different about them? Or what's different about her? Why do they choose to act this way? And it ought to be visible, not something that we do in private. We shouldn't serve the Lord in private. We shouldn't serve the Lord and keep Him in close and never share the gospel with anybody. We ought to do this outwardly. So our work should be visible. Also, our work should be identifiable. Everything that we do, whether it's at work, whether it is in church house, whether it is with our families, whatever we're doing, we should easily be identified by the work that we do. People should be able to look at you and say, oh, I know they're a Christian. Oh, I know that they love Jesus Christ. Oh, I know that they are a proclaiming believer. This isn't something that should be hidden. This isn't something that should be masqueraded. I have never looked at an orange tree and thought, oh, yeah, that's probably a lemon tree. I've never bitten into an orange or a fruit and it tasted like something that it wasn't supposed to taste like. It was always what it was supposed to be. It wasn't a lemon wrapped in an orange peel. It was an orange because that's the tree it came from. It was visible and I saw it and I knew what it was, and I knew the benefits that it had. If we are not being identifiable to Jesus Christ, if we're not being an ambassador to Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard to fully please Him and walk a walk that's worthy of what God is asking us to do. And people ought to know it. People ought to know who we represent. And if they don't, then we got to examine ourselves and figure out what we're doing wrong to make sure that we're taking the gospel and the good news to a lost and dying world. And also, fruit is beneficial. Our work should be work that is beneficial, not just for ourselves, but for the kingdom, for the lost, for everybody we come in contact with. They should want to come up to us and say, I know that, or I'm going to ask them for advice because I know that they're going to give sound biblical advice. I'm going to ask them their opinion and see what they say because I trust them, because they love me. If we're not being beneficial to the people that we are called to serve, it's going to be hard to walk a walk that's worthy of the Lord. It's going to be extremely difficult to do that. But he goes on to say that while our work should be fruitful, he also says that we should be growing in the knowledge of God. Again, how do we do that? How do we grow in the knowledge of God? There's so many ways to grow in the knowledge of God. I believe it starts with salvation. We have to be spiritually minded to want to work and grow in the knowledge of God. Two, it comes to reading God's word. If we want to know what God's word is and want to know His character, well, there's no better place to find it than within the context of the living word. So we ought to do that. But there's, you know, we can pray. There's Sunday school. There's so many different things and opportunities to get us to grow and understand and know who God is, that we would be growing in His knowledge. There's so many opportunities within this church alone. There's Sunday school, life groups. There's Sunday and Wednesday service. Sometimes we have leadership classes. There's tons of things that you can get involved in to understand deeper of the knowledge of God. It's just we choose not to do it. We choose to step back and say, it's a lot of time. That's a lot of effort. I'm probably just okay coming on Sunday. If you truly want to know what God is about, show up. Read. Get involved. There's tons of things, tons of opportunities here that allow for this. And he goes on and he says, growing in the knowledge of God, you see, I think one of the things that we get stumped on sometimes is we say, okay, I'm going to grow in the knowledge of God. And we read His Word and we say, wow, I know so much more than I did. But if you were here last Wednesday, Phil Marlowe preached a message in James. And what did that say? Can't just be hearers of the Word, but doers also. We cannot just simply educate ourselves in the matters of God. We have to put our education into action. Otherwise, what does it say? Faith without works is what? Dead. We ought to want to serve. It's not just reading to fill it up and to be able to rattle off verses and have nothing to show for it. It's to read His Word, be filled with His Word, be inspired by His Word to go serve however He's called you to serve. And that's how you grow. If you just read, that's a great thing. But what are you doing? How are you serving? How are you serving the living God? What are you doing? What's He calling you to do? And are you taking that step to do it? And you can't do it alone. He says in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience through it all. You see, growth is important to endure this world. I don't think there's a single one of us that has, even maybe today or even the first 10 days of the year, that thought, man, yeah, this is going to be a cakewalk this year. Or that, oh, that's going to be not as hard as last year. Yeah, it is. How are you doing it? How have you done the last 10 days of this year? Have you done it on your own? Have you done it without even consulting God with what He wanted for your life? And if you are, how's it going for you? Probably not as good as it can if you figure out what He wants for you and you're doing it with Him. Paul says, we're praying that you would be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. You see, there's nothing that we can do outside of what God allows. There's nothing we can do. We're not strong enough. We're not strong enough to do it on our own. And God didn't intend for us to do it on our own. And he says that one of the last words in verse 11, so we're doing it with God so that, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You see, if you know anything about endurance, that suggests that there's going to be difficulty, that there's going to be inconvenience that will come up in your life. And we shouldn't turn away or turn to the world or step away from God when that happens. We ought to be understanding that if we're doing it outside of God, the endurance is just going to be harder. The things that we are to endure are just going to be difficult. The things that God has called us out of, we're going to go back to. So he says it's important to do it and be strengthened of God and His power so that we can endure the things that are to come. Because without Him, we can't do it. And if we are growing, and if we're growing, we've been saved, we're growing, we're being filled with the knowledge of His will and His wisdom, spiritual understanding, and we're walking worthy of the Lord, we all ought to be able to do what verse 12 says, and that's give thanks to the Father who has enabled us to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. If we understand what God's done for us, what He's pulled us out of, where we were before Him, and where we are at right now, we all should be able to give thanks because we're growing in the Lord. Why should we thank God? Well, he says at the tail end of verse 12, to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. What is the saints' inheritance in light? It's heaven. We're no longer bound for hell. We're no longer destined for eternal damnation. We no longer have a place in hell, but we have a place in heaven. And when we're growing spiritually and we're walking and we see all that God has in store for us, how are we to keep it in? How can we not give thanks to the one who made it possible? How can we not give thanks to the one for the prayers that we've prayed and God's answered? How can we not give thanks back to a holy God? Not for one just hearing us, but for two answering it. How can we sit here and not do it? And I'm asking because I know not everybody in here does it. Not everybody in here says, God, thank you for everything that you've given to me. God, help me grow spiritually so that I would be more pleasing to you. That I would be more of an asset for your kingdom. That I would be able to be used. Have we forgotten where we were at? Have we forgotten where we were and where we were going before Jesus Christ? That's the only thing that I can think of. That's the only logical explanation as to why we choose to not give God thanks. Have we forgotten that? We share in this inheritance of the kingdom of heaven with all the saints who have come before us and are going to come after. Have we forgotten that? You see, if you're growing spiritually, may you never forget this. May you never forget what God's done for you. May you never forget or get stumped about where you're going or get tied up in the world, but knowing that God is the one who's going to provide and that you have an inheritance in heaven. And the majority of it's going to be in heaven. He gives us just enough to get excited about it here on earth. I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like, but I can't wait. You know, His word describes it, but I can't get the picture in my head of what it's actually going to look like, but I can't wait. And I'm going to continue to grow in my walk with the Lord in 2024 and beyond, and I pray that you guys do as well. Because what I just talked about, he says in verse 13, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. That Son that He loves, it's none other than Jesus Christ. And He has plucked us out of darkness, out of the domain of Satan, out of his tutelage, and He's pulled us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. What's better than that? And I'll tell you right now, some of you might not have heard this had you not come to hear the word tonight. Because you wouldn't have got in here and read it for yourself. And I thank God that you guys are here. Because we have an opportunity to hear God's word and act on it. We have an opportunity to hear what His word says and to be about it. Not just hear it, but do it. And God has pulled us, those who believe in Him, He's pulled us out of the darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. And what He says in verse 14, in Him we have redemption. In who? Jesus Christ, the Son He loves. The ones whose kingdom we were transferred into. We have redemption. And that redemption is the forgiveness of sin. You see, we cannot go to a holy God. We will never experience heaven without the forgiveness of sin, without putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and know that He is Lord, He is Savior, He is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. We sing about it all the time in almost every song we sing. You can't get there without the forgiveness of sin. You can't get there without the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't get there without a relationship with Jesus. You can't. You can't. You won't. Nothing you do is ever going to be good enough. Nothing you do physically is ever going to be good enough. I don't care what king you are, what queen you are, what your status is, what your title is in this world. Nothing you can do can outdo what God's already done. And nothing is worthy other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you want to talk about growing spiritually and understanding what God has for you. It's simple. Paul said, I'm going to pray for you. He says, I'm going to pray that you will be knowledgeable in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you will walk worthy of the Lord and bear fruit, that you'll grow in the knowledge of God to be able to endure this life and the simple fact is for the reason so that we would be forgiven, be saved from our sins, experience heaven. But between then and now, we have a job to do. Between the time we got saved in heaven, we have a job to do. And that is to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. That is to grow in the spirit. That's to grow in the spiritual things so that the people outside these walls understand who Jesus Christ is. It's to bear fruit in all of our good work. And I'm going to step away from that before that pops. To bear fruit in all of our good work so that we would walk worthy of the Lord, so that people would see it and say, what is different about them? And how can I have that? What's different about them and how can I have that? But it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Spiritual things can only happen if you have the Spirit within you. You see, dead things cannot grow. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the fact of the matter is you are spiritually dead. And you cannot grow in the things of the Spirit. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that is a promise that is in God's Word, John 3:16. So the question that I asked in the beginning is the same question I have now. Do you guys want to grow spiritually? You know, the past 10 days are gone. We're never going to get those back. January 1st to January 10th of 2024. The 10th day's ending in 5 hours. We're never going to get that back. We have 355 more days left of this year to grow, to walk, to do things that God wants us to do. That's a choice that all of us, all of you, have to make. So let's stand.